You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Kate Campbell, welcome to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
It is good to be back, Owen, for this special bonus episode.
Yep, we're recording remotely, and we're recording on a very important topic for a lot of folks. We're talking about basically the uncertainty in the economy, the uncertainty in the investing markets, the uncertainty with mortgages, with rent, and basically everyone's a bit scared right now. And this is a really short episode that's going to break down what's going on in the Australian economy, what's going on in the global economy, and what you can do about it. So we're going to spend a bit of time reminding you of the good things that you can do to make sure you're prepared for whatever comes next. So maybe we'll start with, I'll start with like the big picture. You can explain some of the implications for people, and then we'll jump into basically the steps that we outline and how you can not only survive a period of uncertainty, but maybe even thrive. So first of all, I guess what's going on? Well, we know that interest rates have gone up in the Australian economy. If you pay attention to the news, you'll know that interest rates have gone up in the UK, they've gone up in America and many other places around the world. And the reason that they've gone up is the world economy, the global economy, has a problem with inflation, whether it's the war in Ukraine, whether it's the food shortage as a result of that, whether it's energy prices going up because of a myriad of reasons, whether it's people just being overstimulated by government handouts or checks, whatever the reason, we have inflation. And inflation, as you know, is the rising cost of goods. So, you know, a cup of coffee might go up 50 cents over the next year or so. And so as a result of that rising in prices, what we're having to do as an economy and as various countries, we have to increase interest rates. The idea behind increasing interest rates is it puts a handbrake on the economy because all of a sudden you think, wow, things are more expensive. I'm not going to pay as much. So for example, I made the joke a few weeks ago that I haven't had an iceberg lettuce in months. I don't know about you, Kate. I haven't had one. And the reason is that they're too expensive. Now, that's an extreme example. In February, I also recorded a video saying that the price of puppies have gone up. Price of puppies went up about like 30 to 50% in a year. And that's like extreme inflation. But that's because of supply and demand. Everyone during COVID wanted a dog in their life so they could feel a bit happier. At the moment, people are traveling overseas. Kate, I know you've booked a holiday overseas and things are quite expensive because once again, more people want to go and there are fewer places to fill up in those hotels. So prices go up. And so the way to combat all that is to increase interest rates. But what happens is increasing interest rates actually can have a very negative effect on the economy. So at the moment, the economy is going too well. That's why we put on the brakes. But sometimes we put on the brakes too much and the economy stalls. And the problem that we have is that in 6 or 12 months, the effects of rising interest rates start to kick in. And that is when, probably in 2023, is when the real effects of rising interest rates now will start to bite. And we're already starting to see things emerge like falling house prices. And we're already starting to see people, you know, consumer sentiment here in Australia is way down. And at the moment we're seeing record unemployment levels. So record low. So that's good, meaning that most people are employed. But over time, as consumer sentiment, i.e. people spending money on stereos and new iPhones and stuff, once that all slows down, what will happen is the opposite takes place. The opposite is house prices have fallen, so you feel less wealthy, you feel poorer. You stop spending money because you're worried. And you also have more bills. And the final thing, and probably the scariest thing that would probably happen, is people's jobs may get put on the line because businesses aren't making as much money, because people aren't spending, and so on and so forth. So it's reasonable to suggest that we actually haven't had the worst of this yet. We actually haven't really felt the effects of rising interest rates just yet. Now, you might be thinking, well, why are they raising interest rates? Surely they don't have to go that far. Well, maybe, but a lot of the times there's a joke in economics that sometimes central banks don't know what's the brake and what's the accelerator. And the reason is that it's very hard to set interest rates at what we call the neutral level, the right level for the economy at the right time. Sometimes we go over it, sometimes we go below it. And maybe we were too low for too long. And now we've got too much inflation. And we might go the other way where we go too high for too long. And then we won't see any inflation. In fact, we'll see people out of jobs. So this kind of sets the scene for the big picture, Kate. Now maybe I'll throw it to you to explain some of the implications of this for budgets and for people in everyday life.
Yeah, we've spent a bit of time recently looking at the cost of living because we've recently recorded an episode, it won't be out before this, but on how to save money as a homeowner. And just looking through, there's so many different expenses that you face as someone that's renting or owning a home. And everyone's seen the cost of their electricity going up, and people that are homeowners have seen their variable rates go up, and even the banks are raising fixed rates. So it depends what, if you've locked in a rate for a while, you might not be feeling it yet. But we were just throwing around a few numbers before, just looking at what a 2% rise in interest rates on a variable mortgage would be for homeowners, because there have been quite a few interest rate increases this year. And if you had a $500,000 mortgage, originally it was at 2.5% interest, mm-hmm. Just a normal 30-year term, before you were paying around $2,000 a month. And now if interest rates on your variable loan have gone up 2%, so sitting around 4.5% on the same loan amount, $500,000, 30-year loan, your repayments are now just over $2,500 per month. So that is quite a significant increase. I didn't realize until you use one of these calculators and really look at it, you don't realize how much these small percentage increases in your interest rate actually add up to. But $500 is a significant amount like every month to come up with an extra amount.
Just basically nothing, like out of nowhere. It's come out of, you know, it's $500 that goes to the bank. Then where does it go, right? It doesn't actually mean anything. It just means $500 less.
You're not getting an extra $500 of groceries or anything. It's just you have to pay this additional cost. You don't get anything extra for it.
No, that's it. And that's the effect of interest rates. And so people that are renting might be like, oh, yes, well, you know, it's about time homeowners got stung with something. Well, unfortunately for you, dear renter, typically what happens in this environment is your rent goes up. So it's not great news for anyone, really. And so we'll get to some of the strategies in just a moment on how you can combat it or how you can try and think about it. Last week, Kate, I spoke to mortgage broker Chris Bates, who has done our Property 101 course with Amy Lenardi and myself, and that's available on Rask Education. So if you are buying a house, go ahead and check that out. For first home buyers, it's actually probably a decent thing, falling house prices, but for basically everyone else, it's not good news. And I guess the thing that we've got to remember here is that yes, fixed interest rates are high and people are wondering, well, do I fix, do I don't? And Chris's response to that was basically maybe not, you know, maybe you could do some of it, but maybe not. Maybe over the long term, if you have, you know, you're paying off your mortgage for the next 10 years, and you might still work out better to do variable, but then you've got to deal with the uncertainty. But he actually pointed out something to me last week on the podcast, the Investors Podcast. And he said that he's actually seeing some of the big banks drop their fixed interest rates. Now, that's interesting. He said they're dropping some of their fixed interest rates. Now, we've seen over the past couple of years, the fixed rate go higher and higher and higher. Because why does that happen? Well, the banks have expected interest rates to go up. So what they do is they put a bigger difference between your variable rate and your fixed rate if you want to lock it in, because they need to also be able to, you know, secure funds to lock in that rate. So now some of the banks are dropping their fixed rate. And now what that means is, yes, interest rates might go up in the short term. You know, we might see a few more interest rate increases, but the banks are betting that maybe the top of interest rates aren't that far away. So that's probably good news for a lot of people, but it also means that, hey, they could be wrong, like the banks could be wrong. But what it may mean is they actually think, hold on a second, the RBA, which is our central bank, the one that increases rates, and the Federal Reserve in the USA and around the world, you know, the policymakers are actually doing something about it. So maybe inflation does get under control. Maybe we're not going to keep seeing this, you know, low unemployment, aka lots of people employed. Maybe next year is not going to be the same as this year. So that's something that we should all be mindful of. The other, just if we just zoom out of property into another asset class for a second, in the stock market, we've seen lots of volatility. We've seen companies bouncing up and down. And we're going through what's called reporting season here in Australia, which is during the month of August, the companies come out with their results for the year ended June 30th. And I suspect, even though we're in very, very early days, we'll see lots of weakness in the profits of some companies. And we'll see, you know, already in the United States, from the results that I've seen so far, a lot of companies are talking about not hiring as many people. Some companies, like PayPal's one company, is actually talking about reducing its headcount. And so we may start to see that as companies report weaker results, companies may look to cut costs. And that's when, again, we see interest, more people becoming unemployed. So, Kate, that's kind of the negative headlines. We've had a lot of commentators here in Australia, I won't name names, who are preying on this information and are trying to make themselves look smart from their ivory towers, and they're really not. No one knows the answer to these things. And falling house prices is not necessarily a good thing. So keep that in mind. There is a lot of positive news, and I just want to just quickly zoom in on that. One is that in the stock market in particular, we can expect the market to crash once in every 5 years. Over 122 years of stock market history, the stock market's gone back around about 20% of the time. So again, one in five times or thereabouts. We can expect the stock market to fall 10% probably once a year. If you buy a good property in a good location, so none of that like kind of like house and land packages way out in the fringe suburbs, you're going to be fine. Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be fine. As long as you can keep your income, you're going to be fine. Chris's advice was to stay away from cheap properties. At the moment, we're seeing a lot of the lower quality properties, you know, with on poor streets, busy neighborhoods, with not the right aspect on the property. Stay away from those if you can and buy smart. So those are some of the things you can do quickly. But Kate, maybe we can talk quickly about some of the things that people can do regardless of their situation to help themselves out.
Yeah, I think the most important thing right now, if we just touch on the mortgages again, is really being proactive with what your bank or lender is doing, because even in my lender, I'm seeing notifications on the app. Okay, we're passing on this rate and it will kick in from this date. So just being, and this is what it looks like for you. So just being proactive and staying on top of what does my next repayment look like? Have I got enough in that account to meet that? If I don't, have I got a plan to come up with the shortfall? And even when your fixed rate does expire, a lot of people did lock them in 2020, 2021. So if that's coming up in the next year, just keeping an eye on what date that is and what your options might be, and whether that's talking to your lender in advance or talking to your broker, potentially finding some options there. And if you don't think you're going to be able to meet your increased mortgage repayments, because let's say for you, it went up $500 this year, and you might not be able to meet that because you haven't been able to get a pay rise or something like that. Make sure to be proactive, talk to your bank. They've got hardship teams. They're a lot better at dealing with this stuff now than they used to be. And even speaking to a financial counselor, giving the National Debt Helpline a call. It's a free service. It's confidential, and they'll be able to run you through their options. And even if you've had a listen to Monday's episode where we spoke to a financial counselor, she said they've got a lot of options where they can help you and work with you and work with your provider. But the earlier you get in touch with them, the more they can do, because the longer you leave it, like maybe you haven't made your repayments for multiple months, it does reduce the number of options they have. And so if you need help, get in touch as early as possible with your lenders, hardship teams, or a financial counselor. So that's probably my first point, I would say.
Yeah, it's really good. Speak to your mortgage broker too. If you did go through a mortgage broker, you know, mortgage brokers are paid a commission. A lot of mortgage brokers bang on about it being free, but the cost just gets rolled into the mortgage. That's how it all works out in the wash. So make use of that service if you want to make use of it. And if you think your mortgage broker isn't helping you out enough, go see another one. Mortgage brokers get paid when you refinance, just like when you get a new mortgage. So keep that in mind too. You can do your own mortgage directly. Typically to get a lower rate, you will need to refinance. So you may need your payslips again. You may need to get your bank, your house valued, which is typically, it can be a few hundred bucks or it's passed on through the mortgage. Some banks are offering cash back. So, you know, you sign up to them and you'll get a $3,000 cash back. But don't be fooled, because it's not always that clean cut. Sometimes there are fees to get a new mortgage. So if it's $3,000, it might be $1,000 to get a mortgage with a new bank, get your house valued and all that. So you may only end up with $2,000, but it's possible. What I would say is remember to focus on the rate that you're getting, and in particular, the discount to the rate that you're getting. Because when you sign up for a mortgage, you get a discount to the standard variable rate. And it's that discount that's really important. Emergency buffers, Kate.
Yes, that's what I was going to say too. Our favorite topic. But thinking about building up your cash buffer to 3 to 6 months now, especially if you do have full-time employment at the moment, it's a good time to start putting that money away. And a lot of banks are offering better interest rates on your savings accounts. So while interest rate increases are more painful for homeowners, they're great for people that are savers and have that money sitting in their account. I know you saw a couple of really good rates. I think Macquarie and ING and UBank have been increasing their rates quite a bit. So we're seeing upwards of 3% rates on savings accounts. So if you are saving right now, especially if you're saving your emergency fund or your house deposit, make sure it's in a high interest savings account and you can actually get a little bit of extra on that money.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say if you haven't got your emergency fund put aside, now is the time. Go and put your money away now. Stop investing right now. Stop investing. Go and put your money in a high interest savings account and keep it there. Do not touch it. Do not invest with it. Do not do anything with it. Put it in that account and keep it there. Now is the time that you want to scrimp and save. And then when the times get tough, you'll thank us for it. We've had so many people write into us, Kate, about losing their jobs, about something going wrong. Well, that could be the case for a lot of us next year. So now is the time to make hay. And once you've got that, then you can invest. Then you can go and do these things. Remember, putting your money, if you have a mortgage, in an offset account, speak to your broker or bank about that. If you don't have one, you should. It's a huge way to save and you make a decent return. The other thing is, and maybe I'll get you to chime in on this a bit too, Kate, is make yourself super valuable to your employer. Make yourself even more employable than you are already. Short courses, taking on extra responsibilities, being more proactive. We're not saying like go and, you know, bust your ass for someone that doesn't deserve it or for an employer that doesn't deserve it. But just put yourself in a position where you are very valuable to your employer. And that may even result in you getting a pay rise and keeping your job when times do get tough.
Mm. And even starting to, now that people are back in the office and back in the cities, starting to work on building your professional relationships again and getting in touch with people from a job that you left during lockdown, so you haven't spoken to them in years. Maybe send a message to five colleagues or people you went to uni with and start getting those conversations going again. Because if you or one of your friends maybe does lose their job or anything like that happens, you have those connections around you, and you can also have your finger on the pulse of what's happening in your industry as well. Like, are people in similar roles to you getting pay rises this year? maybe that means that you are in a position to also ask for a pay rise, or are people in firms like you losing their jobs? Or maybe that's something you need to be aware of. So I think it's a good time to start understanding a bit more about what's happening in your industry. What does your job look like? Are there additional skills and qualifications that people are starting to acquire in your industry that maybe you should too, if you don't want to be left behind over the next few years? Because the world's like, even in Australia, Melbourne, everyone seems to be back in the city and moving around. Conferences are happening again. So especially if you're working full time from home, make sure you don't get left behind, I'd say.
Yeah, good point. We did a few episodes with Andrea Clark, who is a kind of like a, she's a very motivational speaker, but she's also someone that helps people, you know, move up in their careers. Having a great career is definitely not everything, and it's not what we're advocating. I personally would never advocate for that. But what I am saying is, like, oftentimes money does help you live a better life. And so one way that you get more money is you get a pay rise. And so how do you do that? Especially in a time of economic uncertainty. Right now, this period that we have right in front of us right now could be a great time to get a pay rise, because there are a record number of job vacancies in Australia. There aren't enough workers to go around. So you may be able to get a pay rise. However, if you do go into that meeting, you go into your annual review, do it in a way that's strategic. Go in, highlight. Don't just go in and say, hey, I want 20% or I'm walking, because they might pay you 20% now, but then when times get tough, you'll be the first one out the door. So maybe you go into that and you say, hey, look at all these wonderful things I've done. I'm really, you know, these are the things over the last year we've worked on. I want to take on more responsibility, or I want to do this, I want to do that. Understand how your employer makes money. Understand what they're going through. Someone once told me that one of the best things you can do is make friends with your boss's boss, but that might not apply to everyone. But just, you know, remember your... highlight your work ethic and your skills to your employer, and you may get a decent pay rise. And then when things get tough, you're in a position where, hey, you know, I actually did all those things. I'm really good. You understand the business, and you'll probably be in a better position. Andrea Clark had this really good idea of, like, writing down the three things that you want to be known for at work, and then actually asking people to, how do they see you, and how are you known? And there's often a difference between the two. It's a really interesting way to think about it. If you run a business, like I do, now is the time to save money. Get your emergency fund in your business, your small business. Like, I think, was it 80% of Australia's economy is run by small businesses? So now is the time, if you do run a small business, whether you it's just yourself, whether it's you and a few people, or you run a big team, now is the time to save and keep that dry powder. Keep those, you know, that cash in the bank for when times do get tough. Kate, we did one final thing. We did look at some, you mentioned learning a new skill. There are some ways you can upskill pretty easily, right?
Yeah. So in most states, the government funds some sort of further education program, whether that's through TAFE or short courses. So there might be subsidized programs there. You can learn a new skill depending on your current level of education, whether you've done year 12 or a diploma or something like that. So having a look for government short courses, whether there's anything available, even if you are slightly interested in a certain area, like if you go to FutureLearn or Coursera or any of those online academies, they often have a free taster course, and that sort of upgrades you to their big course. So you can do all sorts of things online now. And even YouTube's a good place to start. If you're really interested in an area, that chances are there's someone that's super passionate about that. And even heaps of professors actually put their lectures up for free on YouTube now. I mean, I've found some great law professors in Australia that have put their lectures online. So it gives you different perspectives as well. So it's just a matter of searching for it and hunting them down. And I think it's a good way to just keep growing and learning. It comes back to your job, but maybe in 5 years, you want to work in a different area. So you can start doing this. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It probably stops you spending some money, because on the weekend, you're maybe spending one day learning for free. So there you go.
Yeah, I like it. So from the great Charlie Mungo once said that the most important hour of the day is the hour that he gets to read and learn, because it's when you pay yourself. And it's so true. And you can do that now thanks to online courses. There are some places too, if you are studying, you know, your first diploma or advanced diploma, or If you're getting a uni degree, sometimes you can upskill for free into important jobs or industries that Australia needs. So you can look on your local TAFE. Your local university will also have information on that too. So a great opportunity to do that now and just to be ready, I guess, to prepare yourself for whatever comes next. The final thing that I'll just tuck on the end here, Kate, and I think something we both want to do, is the reason that we have inflation, the reason that we're talking about this now, the reason your mortgage is going up, the reason your rent might go up is for one simple reason. Australia is doing better than we expected. We're actually in better shape. And so we are complaining about the economy doing too well and its impact on us. Now, this is a great place to be in. We are very fortunate here in Australia, but also in many places around the world. And we're going to see more doom and gloom in the headlines. Every day of the week, you can click on an AFR article on The Australian, on ABC, and there will be something negative about finance and investing. There will be something negative. There will be smart people that bamboozle you with complex jargon. There's so many people out there that are trying to masquerade their research as marketing. And the best marketers are often the ones that you don't think it's marketing. They're just playing into your confirmation bias about how bad things are. Remember that the world is a pretty positive place. And you know, over time, the world has got a lot better. We've taken more people out of poverty. We've solved more diseases. Companies have reported bigger profits and solved more problems for customers. And the way to do that and to take advantage of that steady growth in human innovation is to invest, and to invest for a brighter future. Because by definition, if you invest for the long term, you have to be optimistic. Otherwise, why would you invest? So keep investing, stay focused on the horizon, dollar cost average, diversified portfolios, keep that emergency buffer, pay down the bad debts, and just try and enjoy yourself from there on. And tune into the Australian Finance Podcast.
Yeah, I'd just say focus on what you can control. A lot of what Owen's just mentioned with the news headlines out of your control. If you're some of these interest rate rises, you're not going to be able to personally go up to the RBA governor and say, hey, can you just stop raising interest rates because it's affecting me? So focus on what you can control and how you can improve your situation right now and make sure you're in a good place for the next 12 months, especially.
Yep. This is for those of you that are worried or nervous about things, and you're worried about your mortgage, you're worried about this. We're all worried about it, but there are things you can do right now. We've just given you a great list of things, ways that you can save money, ways that you can do things. Like if you're renting, go to your landlord and ask to lock in your mortgage, lock in your rent. Sorry, say I'll sign another 18-month lease. I'll sign a 12-month lease at this price. Go to them, lock it in, get that certainty. You know, we've talked about it being employed. Looking for the best rate on your mortgage. Keep shopping at Aldi. So many different ways. And we've got more coming up on the Australian Finance Podcast. So go and check that out. Kate, I think this was an important episode during a pretty scary time for a lot of folks. So thanks for joining me.
No worries, Owen. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rusk.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcasts@rask.com.au. I am so excited to tell you that InvestSmart and Intelligent Investor are long-term sponsors of this podcast. And here's something I want to tell you about. The Intelligent Investor Select Value Fund is a unique mix of global leaders and homegrown small caps poised for long-term growth. The portfolio manager is Nathan Bell, a talented investor you may have heard on the Rask Network multiple times. The Select Value Fund is designed for investors seeking international diversification and Aussie companies with superior financial metrics. You can invest today at intelligentinvestor.com.au/IISV-offer. That's intelligentinvestor.com.au/IISV-offer.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if, you want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of RASCOR, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASC users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASC community uses each and every day. Number 8, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASC YouTube channel. It is completely free, and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASC network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASC Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we're on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASC Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASC Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.